It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Joining me now is Pastor and the one guest who we need right now, Pastor Matambo, who's going to help us understand this. And all the questions he's been having this week are very, very deep and heavy questions. Pastor Matambo, good afternoon to you. Welcome and thank you very much for agreeing to answer a question today.
Good afternoon. How?
I'm well, Pastor. I'm well. I'm well. How are you?
I'm fine. I hope you had a good night and a blessed morning.
It's a very blessed morning, Pastor. I mean, when I walked into the studio, there was just another air, another spirit. And now I would love to just continue with the whole 3 hours worshiping, but I cannot because I'm on the job. So we have to come back and talk. I can't play music forever. We have to come back and talk and do the job while we're here. Our question for today, Pastor, is the life of Jesus a reworked version of the ancient Egyptian story of Horus? Your response to that, Pastor?
Okay. Maybe let me start by... saying that I'm not so much into these myths, but
me neither.
when I received this question, I went into to digging and searching about the Horus myths.
Right.
Then I discovered that the similarities which people are posing and saying that there are similarities, right. I couldn't find any.
Okay.
And this is about Horus, and I want to just share a little bit of what I found out about Horus. Then I would speak from what I know about Jesus,
okay,
so that we see that there is no really a striking resemblance of these two stories. So we are told that Horus is born of a goddess called Isis and a god called Osiris, and Osiris is then killed. Actually, the story goes like Osiris is killed by his brother Seth. Then after being killed by his brother Seth, he actually cut his entire body into pieces and distributed all around Egypt. Then the wife of Osiris, because she loved her husband,
right,
she was also a magician and a healer. She managed to go around and picked all the pieces of the body of Osiris and reassembled them into one piece. Then in that process, she managed to get impregnated. She was impregnated by Osiris whilst he had just been resurrected and been joined together. And was impregnated the wife Isis, but one story that I couldn't understand is how, because when she picked the pieces, I'm told that she couldn't find the male reproductive organ of Osiris, so she was actually she got pregnant, but not through a sexual intercourse, because Osiris did not have a male organ; it had been lost. Then Isis, being pregnant, how she conceived the baby is what people are saying that is the same as Christ. How he was sexual intercourse. That's one similarity which the myths goes like. Then after that, when Horus is born, we are told that he was not just he was not an ordinary person. He was actually a god himself, a god of the sky. Then, being the god of the sky, Horus he performed some miracles. The only miracle which was noted was that whilst he was trying to avenge the death of his father, he went to fight with Seth, who had killed his father. While he's fighting with Seth, his eye was injured. So the miracle that Horus did was to cure himself of the injury in the eye. That's the only miracle that I found. But they say he did many other miracles. So that's it. Talking about disciples like Jesus, we are told that Horus had many disciples, but we don't have any name of those disciples. What we only have is that Every pharaoh who came as the Egyptian king was a disciple of Horus. And actually, every pharaoh who came was actually a reincarnation of Horus. In other words, when a king dies and another one is installed, they told us, they say that he would be coming with an incarnation of Horus in him. So all Egyptian pharaohs were actually a Horus incarnated in them. Now, when I read this story, I don't find similarities here, because when Christ died, when he resurrected, he did not resurrect in another person's body. He resurrected and he still remained as himself. So we cannot say that there's a resemblance in, as far as death and resurrection is concerned. When Horus died, he did not resurrect and become the same Horus, but he resurrected into another person. That's what they say. So I don't see any similarities there. The disciples of Christ, we know them. There were 12 Horus. We don't even know the disciples that he has. But how many are they, if they ever were any disciple? So I really don't see any striking resemblance of Horus and Jesus Christ, except that people want to reinterpret the ancient myth so that it suits the life of Jesus Christ. It's actually the Horus story which is being retold to resemble the life of Christ, not Christ's life being reworked to meet the life of Horus. It's the other way around. I think that's what I could say. I don't know if you have any other question on this one, but yeah, there is no any. Yes.
So the few similarities that you have pointed out, Mfundis, are the ones that many people are suggesting are quite necessary for us to have this alleged plagiarism. According to the protagonists of this theory, the very idea of conception without intercourse is what brings about the theory that maybe Moshe or Moses stole the idea and planted it into the various quote-unquote prophetic nuances that would come later on. Because outside Egypt, there is no way Hebrews could have ever known about this conception without intercourse. That's one. And two, the idea of Isis and Osiris having this kind of relationship that has no carnal knowledge is what people are suggesting is another similarity between Jesus and his father and Mary. There was no carnal knowledge involved, and thus there was a child born named Emmanuel. And also the theses and antitheses of the brothers Set and Horus, that's what some people are suggesting, again, is what is so similar between Isis, rather, and Osiris and Set to give birth to Horus. So people are suggesting that even Emmanuel and Lucifer could be those similarities. And then Ra, being the father of them all, is the one who's used as the God, the one true God of the Hebrews. All of these odd similarities are the reasons why people are saying perhaps this story was stolen from Egypt. And I want to hear your thinking about that. It may not necessarily all fit squarely, but for there to have been a Jesus story, they existed the Egypt story first. There was Egypt before there was Jesus. There was Egyptian mythology before there was Jesus. There was Egyptology before there was Jesus. And therefore, they're suggesting even before there was the encounter at Mount Sinai, there was Egypt. The very same Moses who is the one credited with all the information that started the nation of Israel was taught in Egypt. Again, people are suggesting it was all a stolen theory. It's not original. it all originated with Egypt, and then they all stole these ideas from Egypt. Your response there, Pastor?
All right. Maybe I would say that if the story of Jesus had been retold by Moses, would actually think that probably he stole something from what he knew from Egypt. But remember that Jesus is coming when it's more than almost 2,000 years when the children of Israel have actually left. Let me say about over 1.5 years after the children of Israel left Egypt, coming to Canaan. So when Christ comes to life and everything is born of a virgin, Isis was not a virgin. We have not been told she was.
Are you still there, Pastor?
Pastor. Hello, can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. Go ahead. I can hear you now.
All right. Sorry, yeah. So I was saying that the story of Jesus is not being told by Moses. If it had been told by Moses, would say that since Moses grew up in Egypt, probably he has borrowed from the Horus story. They were eyewitnesses to the story of Jesus. It was written by those who were with him and by those who were told by those who were with him. So sorry, the story...
Sorry, Pastor. Yes. I think we may be missing each other here. The conception part, there were no eyewitnesses to how Jesus was conceived. We are merely told, but there were no witnesses as to how Jesus was conceived. In the same way, there are no witnesses as to how Horus was conceived. We are only told, and we believe by virtue of the integrity of those who write the synoptic gospels, we buy the story. In the same way, those who write Egyptological mythology, we buy the story, not because they are eyewitnesses. No one, or very hardly ever, is there a witness to how a child is conceived. How a child is born, perhaps, but not how a child is conceived. It's usually just the two people who are creating the baby. Even with Jesus, the Magi were not there when Jesus was born. They only arrived after he was born to witness. Conception part, there were no witnesses of both these two protagonists.
Yes. So I would say that we are not going to base our evidence on the conception only. Let's give the benefit of doubt on the conception.
Right.
And say probably it's a borrowed story.
Okay.
But we need to look at other facts.
Okay.
Is it?
Okay. Okay.
That's around that border the life of Jesus Christ.
Mm.
So that we're able to see if this story is being reworked to meet that one of Horus.
Right. Is right. It? Right.
Yeah. So my point was that when we talk of myths, mythology, usually it's fiction. It's things that are believed to have happened.
Right.
There are no eyewitnesses in those stories.
Right.
You can never find any person who will tell you that we saw it happening. It's just a myth.
Right.
It's what people believe took place, but no one can say I was there or I saw it.
Right.
But when you come to the life of Jesus Christ, it was recorded by people who witnessed it.
What are you referring to now, Pastor? What are you referring to as having been witnessed?
I'm saying that the story of the life of Jesus has got facts of people coming from people who witnessed his life.
Let's be very specific a bit, Mfundis. For example,
you can go into extra biblical sources and they'll tell you that Christ was a real figure.
That
he existed.
Yeah. There is not much.
Yes.
I don't think there's a contention there, Mfundis. I think the contention is on the alleged similarities, which have no actual evidence. And the similarities is in the means by which these two protagonists were conceived. And there are no witnesses for both of them. We can even talk about how this boy grew up. There are no witnesses as to how Yeshua grew up, because it is alleged again by the synoptic gospel writers that he fled to Egypt. Another compounding factor to this Egypt stolen story mythology. He comes back and we only get to see him after 12 years. When is 12 years?
But I'm saying that you can go to extra biblical sources,
right,
and find out that you can still find the story of Jesus
right.
as a real figure who existed, and his life cannot be a reworking of the life of Horus.
Right.
Why am I saying that? You visit the books of Flavius Josephus, one of the historians,
right,
during the times of Jesus Christ.
Right.
He has actually recorded the life of Jesus because he existed in the time when Christ was on earth. So you can find that not just in Josephus Flavius' books. Many other sources can tell you about Christ's real life.
Mm.
So we are saying that this cannot be a reworking of Horace's story. It can't be. And let's look at other things. Let's talk of the way the four Gospels have actually portrayed the life of Christ.
Right.
You see that there are things that are still missing in the Horace story. Let's talk of crucifixion. We are not told about if Horace was crucified, and we are not told about his mission to save people.
Right.
Horace did not have a mission to save anyone, but he had a mission to revenge or to avenge the death of his father.
Right.
That's his mission. But we see that Christ had a mission to save the world. So that makes him a totally different person than Horace in terms of his purpose on earth. And let's talk of death and resurrection.
Right.
There is nothing that we are told about the death of Horus and his resurrection.
Right.
Besides the fact that every pharaoh who came into play people would be told that this is a reincarnation of Horus.
Right.
But there is no record about how he died and how he resurrected. But with Christ, you can find a record that he died and after 3 days, he resurrected. So this cannot be a reworking of the life of Horus. They are completely two different stories.
Right.
Yeah.
So as for the similarities of a real person, while I concede that Flavius Josephus and some other historians do confirm an existent Yeshua at the time, in the same manner.
Yes.
In the same manner, around 2325 BC, we do see a pharaoh that is alleged to have been Horus. This is Sahura. If you remember, Sahura is alleged to have been the very same Horus that lived. And they do confirm, Egyptologists do confirm, that there was that kind of a pharaoh who was named Sahura or Sahure. It doesn't really matter. But the bottom line is he did exist, and his name actually means he who is close to Ra or Ray.
Yes.
So these are other similarities that are alleged. So he did exist in the same way.
Yeah, but remember that every pharaoh who came into existence was a reincarnation of Horus.
Okay.
So which Horus are we talking about? Because all pharaohs had been Horus before.
Not all passed, because some other pharaohs were reincarnated as other beings, as other deities. For example, the one that existed during the time of Moses was Ramesses. That pharaoh was not reincarnated as a Horus. That one was Ramesses.
Yeah.
So we can go back into history and discover who these guys were. But that really is not important. I'm just giving you these similarities, and you can disprove
Horus,
it. Go ahead, Mfundisi.
Yet Horus existed by the time of Ramesses. That's the question now.
No, he did not exist at the time of Ramesses, at least as far as history is concerned. Yes, Mfundisi.
Exactly. But I want to say that all other pharaohs that came later, they were all being reincarnated by Horus.
Right.
That was the myth. Because Horus actually dominates the greatest part of the pharaohs that ever were installed in Egypt.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken.
So yeah, there's another similarity that I was hoping you can address. The idea that Horus is able to see everything and everywhere, as exemplified by the all-seeing eye of Horus, which also is seen in the life of this deity who is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. He's everywhere. That's another similarity that people are suggesting is there. We've taken the powers of Horus and given them to this god, Jesus. Your response there, Pastor?
Yeah. I came across that when I was studying about it. But you see, coming from a biblical point of view, I would say that there is no way that Horus can be an all-seeing eye.
Okay.
Because Horus, it's, remember, this is a myth, is it? It's a myth. We have nothing that we have in record about what Horus has done to protect anyone in the world or to take care of his people. We actually have no record about his works besides when we go to mythology. So we can't really say that that it's true that Horus, his eye was an all-seeing eye.
Right.
And the fact that I just wonder if how does a god get to a point whereby he's injured, his eye is injured,
and
that god has got a problem with an eye. You can imagine.
I'm Funis, you see,
an eye problem.
You're starting now again, Funis. Remember, yesterday we had this thing. You said something that okay, let me just bring this to your attention. We do have a Jesus who also was injured. He was nailed to the cross. He bled.
Yeah, but.
And he died, literally. A God died in the person of Yeshua, Jesus. So surely we cannot find anything wrong with a deity that is injured and dies. If this all-seeing eye that has a problem, we also do see a God in the person of Jesus who was bleeding from the crown of thorns, who was stabbed on his side and blood flowed. Also water came through his nails and his hands and feet were nailed to the cross. All of this, he was whipped with the cat nine tails. He did bleed and die, just like the eye of Horus of Horus was injured as well.
Yeah, but remember that we see Christ dying and resurrecting.
Right, right.
But we have no story of Horus dying and resurrecting.
Right.
Besides being told that he has been reincarnated into the existing Pharaoh.
Right.
We don't have a record of him dying and resurrecting.
Right.
So that's the challenge I have with that kind of a God.
Okay.
You see.
I hear you.
That's the biggest problem I have with Horus, because we don't see his death, okay?
Right.
We don't see his resurrection.
Right.
When Christ resurrected, he did not remain with a bleeding hands or whatever. He was actually a new person altogether.
Right,
a new being altogether.
Right.
So that's a big difference there.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a big difference there.
Okay.
So I think, yes. You still want to ask something?
No. No, Funis, we are out of time. I don't want to keep you longer. It's a very involved study, and I do not want us to end up preaching Egyptology and Egypt mythology as opposed to our gospel. I'm just glad that you were able to say, no, there are no similarities. For all intents and purposes, Funis, where I stand, even if there were any similarities, quite frankly, I'm comfortable with the gospel I'm following, even if there were. So,
I do understand. And so that one thing I love about the way you expound these questions, you make us to think. You make everyone to think, and for us to go and study.
Right.
So that's a positive way of addressing these issues. Thank you so much.
Thank you,
for that.
Ngosim Funis. Appreciate
it.
All right. Let's talk tomorrow. Have a wonderful day, Brother Funis. All right, that's how we end our conversation with a good pastor who is helping us understand these things. And as I said, for example, this subject is a study all on its own. There are people who have gone on to study Egypt and all its myths all together. For us to be able to get into it, we'd have to bring in an Egyptologist to be able to bring this. I was ever so grateful that the pastor was willing to tackle this question. It's a very, very mythological question to respond to, but he didn't shy away from it, and we're ever so grateful to the pastor for responding to it. So yeah, as far as the pastor is concerned, no similarities as far as I'm concerned, even if there are similarities, I'm okay with what I believe in. It really does not bother me. To the person who asked the question, I'm hoping you're answered.
Are you ready to unravel the mysteries of the ages? Tune in to Unlocking Bible Prophecies, where we dive deep into the prophetic books of Daniel and Revelation. In the book of Daniel, we'll explore the visions of empires, the mysterious 70 weeks, and the powerful prophecies that span centuries. From Babylon to the end times, Daniel holds the keys to understanding our world today. And then there's Revelation, the ultimate unveiling. John's visions reveal cosmic battles, heavenly worship, and the grand finale of human history. The seals, trumpets, and bowls, all pointing to Jesus' triumphant return. Whether you're a seasoned Bible scholar or a curious seeker, Unlocking Bible Prophecies is your compass. Discover hope, healing, and Jesus' unwavering love. So, mark your calendar. Every week, Naya Lupondwana and our guests will decode ancient symbols, connect the dots, and draw closer to the one who holds the future. Tune in to Unlocking Bible Prophecies on your favorite radio station, Adventist World Radio SID Media, at 2 o'clock on weekdays, because truth awaits those who seek it. Unlocking Bible Prophecies, where revelation meets transformation.